Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everything in between, welcome to the Kevin Clifton Show. And we've just finished week 7 of Strictly Come Dancing. It's going very fast. So we've just finished watching the results show. Joe, if anyone wants to get involved in this, what we do every week is we get everyone's opinions on our Patreon page, don't we? And do a big Zoom chat. What's the link for this if anyone wants to get involved?
So it is www.patreon, so patreon.com/ The Kevin Clifton Show. And you can come and be on this Zoom and chat with us about Strictly every single week. And there's some different levels of subscriptions that you can do, but just have a look and see if you'd like it.
Forgot to introduce ourselves, by the way. I think we're so used to doing the podcast that we don't bother to say hello, my name is, like they do on sort of most podcasts. So in case you weren't aware, my name is Kevin Clifton, hence the title of the show. It's not the most imaginative title in the history of podcasts. I'm Kevin Clifton, used to be on Strictly Come Dancing. And Joe, do you want to introduce yourself?
I am the better one, Clifton.
Always younger, like, if you've got
younger, better looking. And you know, a bit better at dancing, considering
always the ones that have to say it, isn't it? There's sort of, you know, insecurity, I suppose. Yeah, so that's my sister Joanne, and we both used to be on Strictly Come Dancing, and yeah, now we're not, and we do acting and singing in plays and stuff. That's out the way. So very, very quick fire before we throw to the people in the Zoom, the patrons, some bullet point thoughts. We were talking a lot last week about how what I wanted to see from Tom Fletcher was a more rounded, fatter, elbows up style of shape that he had to bring, that since he was doing Paso, that he had to bring that new frame and a fuller way of framing Amy. And we talked in detail to the point where we were even showing it visually on so anyone listening to the podcast wouldn't have been able to know what we were doing, but we were sort of showing it on here, and I could not have been more pleased to watch him do that this weekend. Elbows were up, his frame was wide, it was fat. The first thing he did, like, and when I say fat, I mean in terms of like a big white, I always think of like carrying a big beach ball for the picture. And the first thing he did, he put his arms up in the air, like elbows up, and took a big stretch with his hips forward and made this huge shape with his elbows up. And I just immediately applauded. I was like, that is exactly what I wanted to see from Tom. Amy's not stupid. Amy is a very good teacher, and I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased about this. So well done, Tom. I was in the theatre, obviously performing with Rock of Ages at the moment. 4 weeks left on Rock of Ages before I finish. If anyone still wants to come and see the show,
I don't think they do. I think they want to come and see the Addams Family. I'm not sure they want to see Rock of Ages.
Well, if you want to see Addams Family as well, there's that. But I had a TV screen in my dressing room this time, so I was watching it, but then going on stage, coming off stage, so I was missing bits and seeing bits, and then I sort of saw a little bit of this Paso from Tom Fletcher, and I had a text from Stace waiting for me when I got back to my room, and it just said, "Oh my God, I love that Paso," and she said, "Very, very Kevin Clifton." So that was a lovely text from Stace. What else? I was very, very proud of Johannes this week. We all were wondering what they were going to do with the rumba, how they were going to play it. And I am so proud that he didn't shy away from the romance of the number, because he could have done, worrying about what, you know, people were going to say or complainers on Twitter and stuff like that. And I thought it was a really emotional number. It gave me chills actually watching it. And I'm really, really proud of Johannes for what he did. I don't know what more AJ could have done to get a 10 from Craig. I don't know what he wanted. Like, I understand Craig doesn't often get his 10 paddle out until later in the series, but this year he's already got one out in week 6. Now, if he's already getting his 10 paddle out at this stage, then I don't know what more she could have done. I feel
exactly.
Like...
Katie Gunn in the chat, her left foot swivel,
Right.
What?
Right. I mean, he said the same thing to Stace that when she did the Charleston in the semi-final. He seems to go left foot swivel. And then they asked him why didn't you give it a 10? He went, left foot swivel, and it could have been better. But I was bashing my head against a wall. Like, what do you mean it could have been better? Like, what did you want to see that stopped it from getting a 10? Because it's one of the best, for me, it's one of the best Charlestons I've ever seen on Strictly. It was excellent.
It reminded me of Sophie Ellis-Bextor as well.
Yeah, I've had people on Twitter saying she didn't point her feet. It's a Charleston, she doesn't have to. She doesn't turn her feet out enough. It's a Charleston, she doesn't have to. It was sensational. And I just feel, I've said this before, I feel like AJ is being held to a different standard to everyone else. Like, if you look at her getting a 5 for that Samba, if you watch that Samba again now, and then you look at like how, okay, she got 3 tens, but I don't know what more she had to do to get a 10, to be honest. Okay, Rose's, we talked about how Samba is more difficult for the girls than it is for the boys as celebrities. And I thought that Ballroom was always going to be the easier one for Rose because she's connected to Giovanni, whereas Latin, she's more exposed. And this was always going to be a marker for me of her progress when she came to do the Samba. So I was real interested to see what she was going to do. And honestly, for me, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought she did a much better job than I thought. Like, she technically it was very sound, a lot of good Samba content. I'm really pleased with it. I'm really pleased with how Rose is doing and her progress and her improvement. And I don't know, me and Stace were watching the results show and we were saying as well, I know Giovanni made some comments about Rose, about how brilliant Rose has been for him. And we both said, I feel like Giovanni seems more chilled out this year. Mm. That's just an observation. It might not be the case at all. I don't know. But like, from the outside, it feels like Giovanni seems a lot more chilled this year, a lot calmer. And I think Rose has had a brilliant effect on him. And I was really pleased with how that went. I'll leave it there for my quick fire bullet points and let's throw it out to everyone else. Let's get this thing going. I feel like there's only one place to start, Joe. Catches.
Well, I think, we'll talk about Adam and Katia and we'll go to Katia's superfan, Fred, straight away.
Because we go, Adam Fred. And Katia have obviously just been eliminated and Fred is the Adam and Katia fan.
Hello, testing, I'm here.
We can hear you, Fred, loud and clear. Go for it.
Hola, hello. Hello, guys, how are we doing?
We're doing good. I feel like we're probably doing better than you.
Like everyone in the Zoom live right now, I felt sad and rueful, but tomorrow I'm filled with pride because it's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Fred.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to be 24.
24.
To what really happened. And this was a really, really Iron Lord blow.
Okay.
Now, we know how much Katya does her best.
Yes.
Be her best. Look her best. She takes no prisoners from her celebrities. Mm. No question. And I know how proud I am of that girl. Mm. All the way. 10,000%. But when she was sent home, she was actually in real tears. And Katya was most upset. She was just not ready for her exit speech at all.
Yeah, she said that. Not ready to be in this position.
Yeah. Let alone she had a big yellow dress and everything.
I did
everything,
fear for
really.
Them. I feared for I, them.
I really, when I, it went really, wrong. I really feared for them. I had to be a bit realistic that their time was up, but I had to think it was just too soon. Mm. Katya has now, since, her debut with Ed Balls 5 years ago, she's lasted 3 weeks less than Ed with Adam, and only 1 week longer than Sean Walsh, but 1 week less than with Mike Bushell 2 years back, which was your last year. But 4 weeks further than Nicola, though, after COVID struck her down.
Yeah,
pardon?
I said that was unfortunate, wasn't it, when she got hit with COVID?
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Mm. First, first COVID, then when she got struck down by it. Now she got hit with an Olympian again and didn't take her much further than we thought we would have. Like, you know, I thought they had so much to give and would have continued to give.
Yeah. To be fair, they did. To be fair, the dance stuff was way better than the live.
Yeah. But I know. But guys, thank you for your birthday messages so far and your aid. Like, you know, I'm okay. I'm all right. I was being realistic the whole time.
You're the first person I thought of, Fred, when they got eliminated.
I know. Thank you, Kev. But it's going to be a bit weird now. Like, whenever I'm raising my hand, you'll think I want to talk about Adam and Katya. But but it's okay. Whatever. But I'm always open to talking about the eliminated contestants and perhaps John and Johanna's too, if necessary. That's right. The second person who I'll vote for now that Adam and Katya are gone. But don't worry, if I raise my hand, you'll know me. You'll think, oh, is Fred going to say Adam and Katya? But no, I actually might have something else to say beside it.
Okay.
Katya's sixth series, like, you know, sixth before the quarterfinals with Ed Balls. First with Joe McFadden, hurrah! 11th with Joe McFadden, a big tumble. 2 weeks up with Mike Bushell, but that's a bit of a promise. Then COVID struck her down in 10th, and now in 9th with Adam. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, this is, I mean, I thought Katya would have an opportunity to reach the final like she did, like, you know, when Jeanette withdrew in 10th place with Will Bailey. I thought there was a link, but that link, unfortunately, got severed.
Yeah.
The pattern was severed. It was just like, I didn't know what to, I was glued with Katya in tears after her farewell speech. She just wasn't ready. And so,
yeah.
Katya's youngest partner yet. What can we say? Let's pray 2022 is her winning year next year when
who knows?
We can see her go further, but just who knows? There is alternatives to that. There's always next year we could see her, you know, go further than week 7, but it's just all, you know, it felt like it became clear that, you know, Adam had ups and downs, but to get to that point, we just feel like, does Katya need a more promising year that she needs?
I mean, it just depends who you get and how it works. And
I know.
The other couples. Like,
so. I know. Yeah. Age, gender,
There's so many factors. There's so many factors going into it.
And you never really know.
She's a winner. You know, she's won the glitter ball, you know, but before.
Before you did.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's a winner, and no one can
in everyone in
her.
Our eyes.
Exactly.
I would like to say though that even so, we know that the Strictly Live tour is coming up within 2 months' time.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you think could be brought into the tour by popular demand?
Well, there's a good question to kick us off, actually.
I actually thought that, you know, maybe perhaps Adam and Katya could do the live tour. And you know, we think that he's one of our favourites. But
I think people would want to see them, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Everyone would want to see them. I like, you know, I mean, I would think that Katya was in tears. Like, you know, like, sent home before my birthday tomorrow is just out. It's just, you know, it's tragic. It's tragic and it's heartbreaking. And, you know...
Well, happy birthday.
And you know what? Oh, thank you. But I expect, you know, if we potentially see Adam and Katya the live tour, if I have my hand up, I'm sure everyone will be the first to know about it.
Yeah.
And when we do see Katya go further next year, you too will be the first to know about it also.
Perfect. Thanks, Fred.
Cheers,
and
Fred.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Where are we going next?
Right, let's go to James.
Great. Hi, everyone.
Hiya.
Firstly, as a follow-up to last week's discussion on theme weeks, where we talked about what could possibly replace Blackpool in week 9,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that a few days ago, the BBC posted an article which suggested that this year's musicals episode was going to be brought forward to week 9.
Oh, okay. So I wonder what will happen, because musicals week's normally the quarterfinal?
Yeah,
week 11. So we don't know yet if there's going to be a new theme week or anything special for that week.
Okay.
Maybe there'll be a surprise week. That's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I had a quick question for Kevin.
Go on.
When you performed 9 to 5 with Kelly,
yes.
Did the hair and makeup team suggest to the two of you that Kelly should wear a Dolly Parton-style wig?
I can't remember. I honestly can't remember. I'm sure it must have been discussed at some point. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it must have been.
Did
she have a wig or not on that week, Kelly? I can't remember.
No.
People say no. No, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would have been discussed. But because we did it at Blackpool, so it wasn't actually for like a movie week or musicals week. So she didn't sort of have to play Dolly Parton necessarily.
Same as Sarah, really. Sarah didn't have to either, but she had the...
Because we were actually... It was for us, it was originally pitched for movie week to do 9 to 5. That was their idea. That was the BBC's idea, the production team's idea. They said to me and Kelly to do 9 to 5 for movie week. And I loved the idea of doing the song, but I sort of said to them, I would rather do it on a different week and not for movie week. I think for movie week in particular, I want a stronger theme, like a stronger theme. Because, you know, everyone does crazy stuff on movie weeks. And obviously they went like, well, like what? And I was like, I'm talking like a big movie that everyone knows, because maybe not everyone's watched 9 to 5 as a movie. They recognize the song, but they don't recognize it as a movie necessarily. And they said, like what? And I went, I'm thinking like Star Wars. And obviously we ended up doing Star Wars for movie week. But that was the original idea for movie week, was 9 to 5. And then I said, but I'd love to hang on to it. Please don't give it to anyone else. I'd love to do it at some point. And then when, you know, we were getting towards Blackpool and they said, you know, what do you think about Quickstep? I was like, yes, can we do 9 to 5 at Blackpool? And then that's how it sort of came about.
That was a great choice to have it in Blackpool, I think, with the, you know, the springy floor, the quick step, having the backing dancers with you.
Yeah. I love doing that one at Blackpool with those, we had the moving desks and stuff. That was really good fun.
Mm.
I always think quick step's a good one to do at Blackpool. Obviously they're not doing Blackpool this year, but there's specific dances that I think that are good to do at Blackpool. Like, I would never want rumba at Blackpool, you know, something like that. But yeah.
How come you asked that, James, about the wig?
Well, I mean, I think there's quite a bit of chatter on the social media where a lot of people, when they were talking about that dance, a lot of people mentioned, you know, Sarah's outfit and her hair.
Right.
Okay. Well, I suppose you're just getting into character and the whole kind of like era of it as well.
Yeah.
They did. What did you think of the dance itself, Jo?
I loved it. I mean, I still think she needs to. I know somebody tweeted me, probably one of you guys, probably about it's not her head, it's the body position. But I would say her body position does need to go out further. I'd literally get her left elbow and just pull it out a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit too straight for me. But in terms of, like, I mean, they stayed in hold most of the routine.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult to do in terms of gapping. And if you get tired, it starts to get slightly out of sync with each other. So I was quite impressed with that.
I thought it was good. I've got written down on my notes, good at ballet. I think that was meant to say good at ballroom. She's ballroom is her thing. There's a couple of moments where I thought the music felt fast. You know, when you're like just trying to keep up with the music a little bit. So I don't know if maybe they could have, you know, I don't know. I think it was the same edit that I used with Kelly, but I don't know whether they used the same tempo or not, like the same speed. I don't know whether I brought it down a peg or not. I can't remember. But it, like, it seemed fast at one point. Maybe I'm just older. I don't know.
And then I'd one other question for you guys. And this was on the topic of dances, such as, do you remember the Waltz-a-thon and the Cha-Cha Challenge?
Yeah.
Where every couple got to dance on the dance floor at the same time. So yeah. I was wondering, what are your memories of those dances? Was it something you enjoyed? And would you recommend that it's brought back this year?
I don't know whether I enjoyed it, just because...
It's stressful.
It's stressful, and everybody's on the floor at the same time. And that is a thing. That's an extra kind of thing that you've got to teach, because you can't bang into another couple. And if you do, you've got to change your step. And with a non-dancer, it's so, I mean, that takes skill to do. We call it floor craft, dodge around other couples when you're moving and stuff like that. And so if they would get knocked on or bang into another couple, really difficult to get back into the routine, and it can stress them out, and then they might get all confused and stuff. So it was quite stressful as an extra thing. But I do like, as a viewer now, I would like to watch that, because you do get to see them all at the same time doing the same dance. So you can make a proper comparison.
I've got some funny memories of it, because so improvisational skills and floor craft skills are what's needed, especially in the ballroom ones. If it was ever a Latin one, you had marked out on the floor like certain squares that you had to stay in. And then there was like a moment, like after like so many bars or whatever, where you were allowed to change to a different square, and it was all drawn out of a hat, like those little bits of paper, and everyone would draw out a bit of paper, and they had a number on it for which square you started in. So it was all completely random. And then you draw another one for which square you had to move to for the Latin dances. So, but I thought, because I wanted to do some certain choreography, and basically because I think it was a cha-cha-a-thon or something like that, I was hoping to do, like, you want to do the choreography that you've already done with your partner as much as possible, so there's less, so you don't have to teach them too much about improvising, so you can just like stick to our routine and we'll do it like this. But the way that I think whichever year it was, the way that my routine fell was that it moved about quite a lot and was difficult to stay in that little square. So I came up with a plan, and I took it to the other pros, and I said, right, we were told if you go out of your box, like before you're allowed to, then it was either like you'll get docked points or you'll be disqualified or whatever. But I said, if we all agree that after four bars, we all exit our boxes, then we can all just do what we want, because they can't just disqualify us all, because then it's pointless. So I was like, we're going to change this whole thing. And I really thought I was like sticking it to the man. You know, I was like, I'm going against the system. And it was a revolution, a kevolution. I called it the kevolution. And the others, like, I can't remember who it was, but some of the other pros were like on board. They were like, oh yeah, this will be well funny. Like, we'll all exit the boxes at the same time and there's nothing they can do about it. But then I could see in AJ Pritchard's eyes that he wasn't going to do it. I could see it. No. And he was coming an R in. And I was like, no, I know what his game is here, because say it was six couples. If five couples all go out the boxes and AJ and his partner don't, then he automatically wins the a-thon, whatever dance it was. And I could see he wasn't going to do it. So in the end, we ended up not doing it. But it was going to be this glorious kevolution, and it didn't happen. the first one I ever did was my first year with Susanna Reed. It was the it was called a swing-a-thon or something. It was sort of swing dance. It was like jivey swing dance type of stuff. And we all started up on the stage, and it was that song, "You broke my heart, so I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. But now I'm back to let you know I couldn't really shake him down. Da, 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 do you love me?" And it went into that, right? And on "Do You Love Me," we all had to run forward to our positions, to our boxes. And literally, we did the "I can really shake him down, Do you love me? Do you love... Would Susanna and Kevin please leave the floor? That's how quick it was. Like, it was supposed to be like Grease when they tap you on the shoulder and remove you from the floor. So instead of everyone staying on the whole time, it was like, with this couple, leave the floor until there's one couple left who's won. And we literally got eliminated. We barely even started dancing. And I looked up... I'm sure they won't mind me saying this now. I'm not on the show at the moment, but I looked up at the time because we hadn't properly started dancing yet. And I looked up at the judges. And at that point, when you've just been told you're eliminated, the camera goes on to you. And I completely forgot where I was. And I went to say something you sort of can't say on a live BBC show. And I went, what the? And the camera just went off me straight away. Because I think I was about to swear on the BBC.
On YouTube?
It might be. But like the camera's on us for like a second, and then I don't know if there was a delay and they went away early or whatever, but I remember at the time it was like, get the camera off him. Because I was like, we literally just started, and it was like, with Susanna and Kevin, please leave the floor. It was hilarious. We were laughing about it all night. So, all fun.
So would you like to see it back this year?
why not? Yeah, I quite enjoy it. It's stressful for the pros, but it's good fun. Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch, just not to do.
Well, me and Stacey's one was the Lindy Hopathon. And we were last on. The problem is when you're last on, then it's great to go on last. But then if you've got the a-thon straight after, you're literally dancing and then going straight into the whatever a-thon. So you're shattered. You've got no recovery time. So whoever's gone on first has completely recovered and been practicing down the back for the a-thon. Whereas if you're on last, you're like straight on into the a-thon. So we literally finish the dance off camera and... quick change, like there's 14 people just grabbing clothes off you and putting new clothes on, shove you back on and back out and into. And I knew it was going to be a slog. So the first bit of choreography, and also because I knew that what I noticed on social media is that sometimes people would say in an a-thon, oh, we didn't see enough of like that couple because the camera's getting like a few seconds on that one, a few seconds on that one, then it'll pan wide, then there are a few seconds on that one. You don't get a lot of sort of screen time on you. So I was like, one, we're going to be shattered. Two, it's important to get noticed here and let everyone know. And there weren't any rules where you had to stay in one place for the Lindy Hopathon. I remember there was no boxes. So I was like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to jump on my back. You're going to put your leg forward and I'm going to pretend it's a guitar and I'm going to start running around the floor. And I think for about 8 bars, we just ran around the floor with Stace on my back. Yeah, so there's ways around it.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Hang on. Oh, I've muted Kev again. I'm doing well tonight. Doing well. Okay. Right, Emily.
Hi. They were all brilliant, weren't they? Mm. We're not here to criticise, but it's a bit difficult now to say, oh, they weren't very good. Mm. But I thought Dan and Nadia were brilliant, but I'm finding the couple's choice a bit weird this year.
Right.
We've had conversations in the last couple of weeks because there's not... I much preferred it when it was when you had contemporary musical theatre or street dance. Mm. But there's no structure, is there? They were really good. I did not enjoy it, but I'm just finding it a bit strange.
Right.
What do you think?
I agree completely with you. I literally sat here and watched it, and I was like, I had to watch it on catch up this morning, and I was just sat here with Uncle Fester and Scott, Uncle Fester. And I was like, what is this dance? Did they say at the beginning? What is it? And he didn't know either. They hadn't said it. And I was like, oh my gosh, couple's choice again. So that I don't know. I like to know what style it is, because then at least you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
What do you think, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, I never... I never don't enjoy watching Dan and Nadia. I always enjoy watching them every week. It is difficult. Like, yeah, Couples Choice is always difficult to compare with the other dances, like in terms of how do you score it? Because, you know, how do you score it against a samba when samba is so technically exposing? You know, when I don't know technically necessarily what to talk about in terms of the Couples Choice. It's just whether you enjoy the dance or not. And I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But so then what, how do you score it? You know?
Yeah. What do you score it on? What are you looking for?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. I think it's sort of losing its bit, isn't it?
What was that? Sorry.
It's losing what it used to have, isn't it? I think it's just kind of getting a little bit too far out there now.
I know what you mean.
Well, it's just a show dance.
It's a show dance.
And at least if you knew you were getting a musical theatre jazz one, you're looking for the storytelling and the acting and the Broadway, whatever. You know what it's supposed to look like. That's my thing.
Well, well done to him. Like, he's through to week 8.
It was great. I mean, it was a lovely dance, wasn't it? It was brilliant.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a lovely vibe. Yeah.
Bit of a weird concept. Sorry, Joe. I'm talking over you, really.
Go on, Emily.
I was just going to say that I think the partnership's really working, and I think somehow Nadia's doing a great job getting him this far, but also Dan's bringing out more something in Nadia that. She hasn't had in previous years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like
Giovanni, she seems to be quite sort of relaxed and having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought Rose and Gio's samba was brilliant.
Mm.
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, I wrote down, bounced, relaxed and really natural.
Mm.
Didn't look forced in any way. Mm. I mean, obviously, eights, I don't know. I'm not a professional dancer, but I don't know what you think they could have done to push it harder to get to a 9, maybe. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if in terms of getting a higher score, it perhaps could have been a bit more sort of, they could have attacked it a little more, like just in terms of energy and performance. But I think at the end of the day, like we've talked about, for the females in particular, samba is so technically exposing. They can't get away with a lot of stuff that the males can. And Giovanni choreographed a very technical samba.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? There was no messing about with it. Not that I don't mean messing about in a negative way. Like I just mean as in throwing extra stuff in there. It was very much down the line. It was almost like a comp routine, wasn't it, Joe? It was like a medal exam comp routine.
Yeah.
And she had to do a solid job technically. She sort of had no choice but to do it. And I feel like they just made a decision. That is what we're going to do this week. We are going to be technically sound. We're not going to try and overdo it. We're not going to push too much to even try to entertain. Like, we're just going to do a technically sound samba. And I thought they did that. And like I say, I thought it was a lot better than I expected it was going to be. I think her Latin has improved, actually.
Yeah,
I think
I knew her ballroom would be good, but her Latin is improving. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, because her Latin is good, isn't it? It's really, really good. So hopefully enough to push her through. I'm absolutely hoping that those two win. I think they're brilliant. And because her ballroom's so amazing, but her Latin is also very good. Hopefully it's at that level where that's not going to let her down, is it?
No. And that's the thing. Like when you've got one that's one, you know, that leans more towards one than the other, like lean towards a ballroom or leans towards Latin, you worry that in the latter stages that like when they come with the one that they're slightly weaker at, you know, if that's going to be their downfall. But, you know, so it's important that the other side is good enough. And I think she's becoming an all-rounder. Like,
yeah.
I think she's stronger at ballroom. But if you compare this samba to her cha-cha, this was, she'd come on leaps and bounds. Like she's really improved since the cha-cha for me.
I agreed with, I think it was Shirley that said it, like her, the hips were good. Like she did those kind of like locks, like samba locks.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I actually said, I was like, good technique. So I think Giovanni did do a good job of teaching her.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. And it just one other one. I know that other people will talk about AJ and Kai, who were amazing, and John and Jojo, who were incredible. But Reese and Nancy, two of my faves, I was delighted that they got 3-9 this week, but I still think Craig's down on him. I don't see how he could have given him a 7 on that. I thought it was brilliant.
Go on.
I still think his frame's not good.
Frame, isn't it? Yeah.
And, his elbows are too far down.
He, like, in the same way that what we said about Tom, he needs to get the elbows out and up to create frame in ballroom and in something like Paso. Reese has got everything except for that kind of frame for me. Right. Like, if he could just get that frame locked in and bigger and rounder, everything else, he'd look phenomenal. Everything else would fall into place and people wouldn't notice about, you know, is it too much energy? Is it not? You know, all these other things. Like, he just needs to get that frame right, get that sort of posture and frame in place.
So on that, I think, you know, we are halfway or more or a week later than halfway or something now. And you think the first one, one of the first things you look at in ballroom is the frame, and he has been told about it. So if Craig's giving him a 7, I'm like, well, do you know what? If he is judging Reese against himself, then a 7's right, because he needs to improve those elbows.
That's good. That's having interesting.
Having said that, though, I still think he's amazing.
I do.
I think he's really talented and an absolute showman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Who's next?
Okay, let's go to Vicky Leyland.
Hey, you're all right. Yeah, good, thank you. Can't wait to see Adam's family, Joe. And I have to say, I've got no real favourites anymore in it anymore. They've all gone. But I found myself giving Tom and Amy a standing ovation last night. So they're something, right? Yeah. Sat here on my own watching it, and I just found myself stood up clapping. So I thought they smashed it last night. And my daughter's fuming that Craig did not get his 10 out for Kay and AJ. A couple have actually got my 17-year-old into Strictly, and she's so into it. It's brilliant. But yeah, she was so cross. Why are they not getting these 10s?
I don't know. I don't. My question is with it is, what more could she have done? Like, what, I don't know what else was wanted from her to get that. Like, that was my point at the beginning. If it's like, no, I'm only going to get my 10 out, like, you know, near the end for something extra special, but he's already got his 10 out last week. And if that's where the standard is, like, that was as good. Like Rose and Giovanni's tango last week, was it last? Yeah, that was last week, wasn't it? Halloween was stunning. Hence, it got the 10 from Craig. This Boston was that level. It was as good, like a completely different kind of dance and a completely different atmosphere and narrative and all of those things. But like, I don't know what, if Craig is capable of giving a 10 at this point, I don't know what more she could have done.
No, they were mesmerising, weren't they? Yeah, you just can't take your eyes up and together. They're just, I don't know. But and I think really, Nadia... Sorry?
I was just going to say, I think the flapper style, Charleston style, really suited her. Like dancing like that and the little cheeky stuff. And I don't know, she got long limbs and it just looked like, oh, yeah.
And the lifts were incredible as well, weren't they? But I love the lifts in it as well.
Yeah,
inspiring, but
excellent stuff. Yeah,
but Nadia, I think she's shining this series now. I think Dan has brought out a fun, laughable side to Nadia as well. Yeah. I thought she was a bit more serious before, but yeah, so it's all good. But my votes. No idea where they're going to go next.
Who knows?
Is it a three couple? Has it been out? Is it a three couple final then?
I assume so.
I think so. I think that's what I'm reading, but who knows till the BBC actually announce it. But
because I've got four.
Yeah, but
I've got four people in my final at the minute.
Is Tom one of them?
Four. Yeah.
I'd like Amy to win, you see. I think she deserves it.
I honestly think that he's gone on this kind of he's slowly crept up and then had a breakthrough. He wasn't like amazing at the beginning and then having to keep it up. He's just come through and is the absolute dark horse of the competition.
I think he could. I think it's possible. I still think, and hey, I could be completely wrong, but I still think it's going to take a seismic shift to stop Rose and Giovanni from winning. I don't know about winning.
I was saying I've got four in the final.
Yeah, but in terms of the win, I still think it's going to take something massive. It's going to take a massive performance from someone. And AJ is delivering those performances week after week, but she still can't get the 40 that Rose and Giovanni got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. If that Charleston isn't it that gets the 40.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it going to take? Do you know what I mean? But I might be wrong. You know, I don't know how the voting's going. I have a feeling that Rose and Giovanni will be doing very well in the votes. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Mm.
Yeah. But with the final, I think Tom is a threat to the final. I've been saying for a while the final three would be Rose, AJ, and John.
John, yeah.
But I think Tom is probably the biggest threat to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a massive fan base as well. Yeah. You have to look at that as well, don't you? So EastEnders have a big fan base, obviously, as well. So AJ might not do as well because has she got a fan base like the rest of it? I don't know.
Yeah,
except for my daughter, obviously.
And I wonder if, because AJ was so good from week one, that she's and because there's no sort of obvious, you know, there's usually one that's like people go, oh, well, they've already done dance training before Strictly. That's not fair. You know, we get that. And AJ hasn't, or, you know, as far as I know. But I wonder if, because there isn't that obvious one, that AJ's taken a bit of that flack. Do you know what I mean? Like that people are sort of making that assumption about her that, oh yeah, but she's great from week one, and sort of forgetting the fact that she's not a dancer.
People also think she'll be safe as well, don't they? You get that in the voting as well. I think, oh, AJ was great, she'll be safe.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work like that.
No.
People have to vote.
Yeah.
Emma B just wrote in the chat, looking at the scores tonight, Tom would have beaten both Rose and John in a dance-off. Could be an interesting semi-final.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. So if they do end up in a dance-off against each other right at the end there, that's where it gets really interesting, isn't it? It's going to come down to what dance they fall on in those crucial, you know, the quarter-final, the semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come down to some interesting ones.
Yeah. Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Isabel.
Hi, everyone.
Hiya.
I hope you're okay, Joe. I heard something about you falling down the stairs backstage. I hope you're okay.
It wasn't backstage. It was on stage.
Oh, no. But yeah, I hope you're right.
It was just going into a scene and it was too dark, but ironically I had a little lantern in my hand as the character to help me see in the dark, and I missed a step and I just ended up on the floor.
Come on. My three votes went to my sort of usual three of AJ, John and Tom. I love the traditional music of the Paso. I know you've said before you like traditional music for Paso and Tango, and so the way he looked, like, I think I saw an interaction between you and Vicky Gill on Twitter about Tom's costume. It reminded me a lot of your Paso costume from
I love this costume.
Thought great choreography from Amy, like, literally the first thing I wrote down was yes in capitals, because I was just like fist pumping this one. It was brilliant. And his port de bras, the way he held his arms and like that Olé style was absolutely perfect. I thought this was gorgeous. And that's
I wanted to see from him this week.
Yeah. And I think I said before, I love seeing Amy do a jive, but I think her passos have also been really good. I loved hers with JJ last year.
Amy's quality.
Amy's
brilliant across the board. She's one of those ones that sort of, she's not, I don't know. I almost feel like she's underrated, but by everyone, like she's quality.
Yeah, she is. And John, I wrote, wow. And I actually stood up from the sofa and gave him an applause and standing ovation. It was just so beautiful. I thought they pitched it really well. And I was really moved by it. I loved the feeling. The choreography was so beautifully simple, like Shirley said, and light and shade was brilliant. And they got a 10 from me on this one.
Yeah. I was really moved by it. I got chills watching it. I've watched it a couple of times. The first time I watched it, I really got chills watching it. And like I said at the beginning there, I was really proud of Johannes that he didn't shy away from it, because I think they could have taken a very sort of generic technical rumba, we're not going to look at each other too much, you know, sort of way out. And I've seen a lot of people like on social media saying, you know, they don't, you don't know how much this means to us, you know, you two doing this dance. I thought Johannes danced so well as well. Like he really danced well. I mean, they're all brilliant, the pros. Like I'd say that as, you know, take that as a given. All the pros are brilliant. But I don't know, Johannes just danced so beautifully in this rumba. And I thought John did a really good job. Like it's rumba. It's horrible in terms of like being judged on it on Strictly. It's, you've got to be, you know, it's very technically exposing. If we're being picky, I think, I can't remember who mentioned it, but I think John could have got over his leg a little more to sort of get his weight forward and straighten his legs a bit more. It was on bent legs a little bit. And then he could have kind of got onto his leg and then squeezed out his hip. But, you know, that's just picking on things technically. But the story and the feel of the number that they created, I thought was really, really beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, and AJ also got a 10 from me. Like you, I was like, what more does she have to do to get a 10 from Craig? And when he said, oh, it's a left foot swivel issue, I was like, are you kidding me?
Watch it back and tell me that a left foot never swiveled. Like,
I know.
That's craziness to me.
Yeah. And can I just say props to the external choreographers, Jenny and Sean, like such intricate choreography. Like there was not a beat of music where there wasn't some action of choreography, like the whole sort of hands on the knees, like isolations. They're insane. And yeah, I love the 20s original. I love it when they do traditional Charlestons, like with a 20s vibe. I thought it was great.
Yeah, they were great.
I love Jenny, the choreographer, she's just brilliant.
And I would just like to mention, Tilly, my jaw hit the floor when I found out she was in the dance off. I was like, are you kidding me? I did not expect that at all. So yeah, I really hope this doesn't knock her confidence though, because I think, like Tom, she's a bit of a dark horse because her ballroom is fantastic and then her cha-cha last week was extraordinary. So yeah, I just hope this doesn't knock her confidence. So I think Tilly's going on a journey, shall we say.
Yeah. Joe, give me your ballroom girl perspective on Tilly's tango.
Well, again, in terms of position, which is the main thing for me, I would have wanted her further out. I think what they concentrated on, and you could tell from the moment that they got into hold, is that in tango, you have to be slightly more lowered into the knees. And that's what they really concentrated on. You could see it. If you watch it back, they get into position and she goes down, which is a good thing. But it kind of made her position sink, like her upper part of her body slightly, it was amazing. But it just slightly sank into the frame. Her upper part of the body, because they were concentrating so much on being a little bit more lower in the knees. But that was my only criticism.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I loved the whole chess thing as well.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
A great concept. But I thought she danced really well. I think she's impressed me for a couple of weeks now, Tilly. I think she's doing a really good job. Yeah.
And not the first time we've seen a chessboard concept. Ashley Roberts did that with Pasha for their tango.
Ah, okay.
And Natalie Gomedi with Artem for their Argentine tango in the semi-final. They had a sort of chessboard.
All right.
Karen and Jamie Lang, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
I think they started it by playing chess.
And we've done a Halloween Pro number where we were chess.
Oh, that was one of my favourite numbers by Beth Onan.
Seems like chess is a bit of a favourite theme.
Yeah.
Millions of people sit down on a Saturday night to watch ballroom dancing and chess.
You know, I love Tilly's focus, and yeah, I hope this doesn't knock her confidence, because I think, like I said, she's a dark horse in this competition, and I think, like Tom, she could be a threat to the top three if she keeps on an upward trajectory. So I think she'll do well.
That is true.
Okay.
Thanks,
Katie. Was that Katie?
Yeah, Katie. I love that. Yeah, Katie. It's Katie in the States, but the way you say it, it's much nicer. That's funny. Tilly was the last thing we talked about, because I wanted to talk about that dance because I really, really enjoyed it, and the visuals were amazing. And I was wondering if you, Kevin and Joanne, could speak to what. Well, I guess you did, Joanne, like what the, what the issues with it, why it was marked so much lower. But then also in the dance-off, surely diverging again for the second time with the other judges, and I think so. I'm not a strictly numbers expert, but I think the last time was with Greg. And she, at the end of it, she said she would have saved him. And that was the second time this happened this season, I believe. And so I was wondering if you could speak to why that may have been. And also, and this might be a little bit, I don't know if you want to talk about this on the podcast, but like there's stuff on social media about Stacey favoring men over women. And if you think that is something that she looks at, or like why that is out there.
I
wouldn't have thought that would play into it. No, I wouldn't have thought that's a thing at all. As for the decision itself, we just briefly chatted, didn't we, just before we started, Joe, we were trying to figure this out. Like, I don't know, like, unless she's seen something up close, that's always the other thing, unless she's seen something up close that we haven't seen on the screen. I'm not sure what she was like. I thought Adam did better in the dance-off, certainly, than he did on the live show. Because he went wrong on the live show. So maybe that was in her head, that that he'd sort of made this big step up in terms of, like, he went wrong and then he didn't go wrong. But I thought Tilly was very, very solid technically. It was a good dance. I enjoyed the drama of the dance. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. I like Ankatya, but I think in terms of the jive technique, like he was, when you're talking about his kick action, he was kicking forward all the time. And I like to see it kick downwards. I like them to pick up the knee and lift the foot and then kick downwards. And he was kicking forward, which takes away the sort of speed. I always think of the kicks in a jive as being like a sewing machine that's just going up and down. And I found the kick slightly labored in that he was kicking forward. He didn't do a bad job at all in the dance off, but I was surprised that Shirley said she would have saved them, because I think technically, Tilly's was more technically solid, and for me, it was just a more well-rounded dance, I think. I think she's just a step above him.
I
would say it goes back to that discussion of what are they judging on, because maybe Shirley at that point was judging on the improvement of the one, not comparing Tilly. Did she improve as much as Adam improved from the show to the adult show?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it could have come down to that. I don't know.
On that dance or that dance alone. I also saw some things on social media, which is the best source, obviously. was just that the jive was a much harder dance to do technically than that tango. And when I watched it, one of the reasons I love that one was I would find that, I think, harder to do myself. From a total non-dancer's perspective. Like, I think, like, kicking down or whatever, like, it looks like it's fun, you're jumping around. And the tango looks much more technical. So that's obviously, not obviously, but is that not true? Is that jive, was Adam's jive harder to do than Tilly's tango?
I mean, two completely different dances, obviously, but I would say there's a lot more technique to take care of that's going to be visible to the judges in a tango than there is in a jive. Like we've said this before, Joe, jive is easier to teach in terms of, like, for me, if you can take care of sort of two or three golden things in a jive, if you can, and it's not necessarily that they're easy to nail, but if you can nail those two or three things, then you've got a good chance at doing a decent jive. And it's to do with picking up the knees, kicking downwards. I always teach my partners to pick up their, as they pick up their knee, keep it as close to the other leg as possible and try with their heel to kick their own backside. They don't have to actually kick it, but like as close as possible to get their foot up and close to the other leg and kick their own backside and then flick from the knee downwards from there. If you can get that, and if you can get the bounce of a jive so it doesn't stay flat like a cha-cha going side, close side, if you can bounce it, then and keep the connection quite short and compact, if you can take care of those things, you've got a good shot at a jive, whereas there's a lot more involved in a tango for me.
Tango is also a dance that has a lot of, we call it kind of light and shade, like, there's fast movements and then there's also a stillness about it. It doesn't have to be always attack, attack, attack. You need to attack and then control and sustain and have this stillness and almost like, I don't know, I always think regal kind of thing. It's a little bit different to Paso Doble, and I always, you always see the celeb girls, sometimes they put the two together and it's just because they're feeling the passion of it. But in Paso Doble, a lot, there's a chin down kind of thing. But in tango, when they get into it, their chin goes down again. But it should be up, like regal. And so I would say tango is more difficult because there are all these extra elements to it. And actually, it's considered more of a slow dance than a fast dance. And in a slow dance and you're in frame, it's easier to see any distortions or anything that's out of place or anything that goes wrong or footwork or something, because you know, you've got your slow, quick, and you'll have a fast, and then so I would definitely say that tango.
And you made a point last week, Joe, about how, like, sometimes it's just what the judges are specifically looking for. So it might be that Shirley was really interested in the footwork, for example. She talks a lot about going from foot to foot, is sort of a bit of her saying. Now, if she's, like I say, if we haven't necessarily seen something on the screen, but if she's like stood up over her desk and she's like laser focused in on Tilly's feet and she sees something that's a footwork error, then sees, you know, watches Adam do the jive and doesn't necessarily say a footwork error in terms of, like, he doesn't step on his heel when he's supposed to be stepping on his toe, then that might have just been what's forefront in her mind. And if she scored them both the same and thought it was quite equal, then that might be just the one thing that she's made a decision on, in the same way that Anton made the comment, didn't he? Anton said, I was waiting, it was very equal, and I was waiting for one couple to give me a reason to save them. And that moment happened with Tilly. He didn't say what that moment was, but he had that moment. It might have been with Shirley that she was waiting for a moment and then watched Tilly make a foot fault or something that we didn't see.
Yeah, because so it's like if you do a slow in tango when you're facing in what we call promenade position, both move in the same direction and hold, you definitely have to do it on a heel. So if she, I don't know this, but don't, I'm just saying as an example, if Shirley had been watching her feet in that moment and she'd done a toe, that's like a massive basic mistake. So that could have like changed Shirley's mind.
And I suppose if she was able to, and I'm not sure why, maybe you could speak to that. She's not able to give the reason for her would-be decision. That's another thing too, which could cause, which could lead to the speculation of, you know, Shirley only likes men, because she is able to say or does say is that I would save this person without mm-hmm. the reason behind it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, is that for timing? Is that the reason? Or it just doesn't matter at that point?
No, it doesn't matter. They have to keep to time for the show. So like Tess will have someone in her ear saying move on, and sometimes the judges, like Craig said today, he was having difficulty. Was it Craig? It took a while for him to say, it took quite a while in their answer of who they were going to save. And so if they take more than they should, then Tess has to move it along. I think she gets production in her ear saying, okay, move it. So I'd probably that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. There we go. Let's go with Donna.
Hello.
Hiya.
Well, I like Tom and Amy's Paso Doble, but I wanted to ask a question. Craig said that Tom needed to move around the floor, movement a little bit more. So I'm just wondering why Craig said that with his Paso Doble.
I guess it's a preference thing for him. He probably wants to see around. In competitions, Paso is a dance that goes around the floor like a ballroom dance that travels. So, you know, you get cha-cha, rumba and jive that stay on the spot, and you get samba and paso that moves around the floor. So, maybe in his head, he wants to see that as much movement. And I think you often do get that on Strictly. So it might just be what he's used to on Strictly as well. I always tried to use as much of the floor as possible in a paso to really kind of... I always thought of a paso as, and this doesn't, it doesn't necessarily have to be this. This is just how I think of it. I always felt a paso like, when you talk about things like matadors and stuff, that you're in this sort of bullfighting arena. So I used to tell my partners to look up at the balcony in the studio and imagine it's like a huge, like, Colosseum, and you're playing to the person right up at the back. And I used to want them to walk around and really take command of the room. So that was always a big thing for me. If you look at like some of my paso routines, I would make a point of walking strong, sort of power walks, paso power walks around the room, around the edges, and playing to the balcony. Now there's no one on the balcony to play to at the moment, so I don't know, you know, that makes things different. It didn't bother me particularly. They don't have to do that and move around the floor. So I liked it as it was, to be honest. But yeah, it's probably just a preference thing of what he's used to seeing with the paso.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about Dan and Nadia. Well, the couple's choice, I think, like, they said, can Dan bring more? So because I reckon he's becoming a bit of a fan favourite mm-hmm. at the moment, that's probably why he's not being in the dance-off. I was wondering, do you think he can bring more in the up-and-coming dances?
I think he's definitely, he keeps on improving and he keeps on, not shocking, but just surprising, I think. I think people automatically still would say, "Oh, he's not very good." But actually, if he has been, because of the lobster outfits and stuff like that, he's been made a little bit into the entertaining one that's left. Yeah. But actually he is improving, wouldn't you say, Kev?
Yeah, I think so. And like, what do they want to see more from him? They want to push more. Maybe more strength in terms of what I was saying last week about Tom, in terms of a sort of frame coming from your core and making a big, strong shape. Maybe a bit of that. Because, you know, he's sort of tall and slim. He's not short and stocky, for example. So, you know, he really needs to sort of maybe slightly more muscular in his sort of tension and way of dancing. Maybe it's something like that to give it more strength. What's Emma Bee just said? Anton said he wants to be, wants to be more funky. Terrifying thought. Stacey went, why do they keep saying funky? Stop saying funky.
Sarah and Sarah and Aliash, I find that sometimes, you know, she does need to bring the acting skills out of it in some of the dances, but she's not like a natural actress like Rose is.
But the thing with that is, like, so I agree, but she didn't have much chance to. When you're in holding ballroom, you do tend to look more at the technical things because you can't act that much in hold. Well, you can, but you can't that because you're stuck in this one position and you're not even supposed to look at your partner. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, as we said before, she was in hold most of that quick step. It was just the beginning and the end. Yeah, she could have acted it. I agree a little bit more at the beginning and the end.
We talked about Rose, you know, in her tango last week and her intent and the way she grabbed Ronnie's face and the way she looked at him on the shoulder, you know, things like that. But then she's an actress. That's her comfort zone. She knows how to do that.
Yeah.
So that's her, that's always going to be her strength in telling the story.
Yeah. Then again, if you take Tilly though, she's not an actress, although she's a type of
performer.
Well, so Sarah, to be fair, but I found Tilly's quite good at the acting, the storytelling.
Okay.
Thanks, Donna.
And Kevin, I'm coming to see you in Cheltenham.
Oh, wicked! See you there.
Thursday.
Nice one. Thank you.
That's all right.
Thanks, Donna. Catherine.
Hey.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey. I know it's been mentioned already, but I just wanted to say, John and Johannes, I was at a dance competition today and everybody was talking about how amazing it was and how they kind of embraced what's usually kind of the kiss of death dance for most male professionals, males by face, sorry. Normally it's a bit awkward and you don't always like watching it, but I found myself totally captured by it. It was hard to look away. And even like on YouTube, I keep going back to it.
Yeah. How brilliant that we've had a rumba on the show that just sort of wasn't, like you say, it wasn't awkward or it didn't feel like a big, like, oh, they could be in trouble moment. Like as soon as they'd finished the dance, I didn't think for one second that they'd be in trouble. Whereas usually when someone does a rumba, you think could be dance off for them, you know. And I felt really comfortable watching it. It's great that everyone's behind it and everyone's talking about it. That's great to hear.
I liked as well that it wasn't like Shirley mentioned, it was gold standard, like it wasn't flashy and all about the lines. There was just a lot of just them dancing and it felt like you were watching something really I don't know, intimate. I don't know how to describe it, like quiet but in a good way.
That's the perfect way of describing it, actually. That they always very naturally sort of have a tone to their dance and are good at storytelling, but like you said, they actually did a very sort of it was full of rumba basic content, like that would have been so exposing technically. Like it was very bold, That's why I'm proud of Johannes. Like it was so bold to do it like that, and you know, say, okay, we're going to go for it, and we're going to show you some real rumba content, and we're going to dance it properly, and we're not going to shy away from it being quite intimate and romantic. Yeah. Like that was bold. Like it's bold, like you're in danger doing a rumba anyway in the first place. So that was really bold, and it's just by the end of it, all I could think was, wow, I got chills. There was no part of me thinking, oh, I fear for them this week, or it could have been that. I just had like goosebumps.
Yeah. And I think it would have been so easy for him to make it, like you said, just dance by numbers, because then it wouldn't have offended anyone, or it wouldn't have been awkward for anyone to watch, and it wasn't that at all.
Exactly. And I always say every year, I hate it like when anyone plays safe.
Yeah,
I love it when people are bold with their choices, and they didn't play safe. And I'm really, really pleased for them.
Yeah. And Johannes this year, I don't know, he just seems like a different person. I don't know. I've loved watching him. He's one of my favourites everywhere, but this year he just seems different.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Really, really, really good. Like I've watched it a couple of times, because I think on one of them I sort of only watched Johannes as well, because he was just he danced it so well. But John held his own. Like obviously he's not going to be the same level as Johannes, but he held his own in that rumba.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was just standing there having someone dance around him.
No,
he definitely looked like he was dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I agree with the, I don't know what AJ has to do to get a 10.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all going to celebrate when she gets that 40. Surely she's going to get a 40. Surely, like they're not going to let her. All. But then, I always say they didn't give it to Stace. Stace never got that 40.
Yeah. But like you said, I think they're holding it to a different, I don't know if it's a different standard, because she was good at the beginning. It's like, oh, well,
yeah,
she has to work harder to get 40. But I think her improvement's been just as good as anybody else's.
Like, can you imagine if anyone else in the competition, anybody, pick any of them, had done that exact Charleston? Like, it would have been like off the chain. Wow, where did that come from? You've improved so much. Like you've just gone up 5 levels since last week for anyone in the competition.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, of course she's done well. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it could be better. 9. It's like, come on. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine. Kev, we are 20 minutes over, but...
We can do it, we can do it.
Two more, Emily and then Jack. Go on, Emily.
Yeah.
Emily Riley.
Hi.
Hi. I
absolutely loved John's rumba.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah.
Tom, hurrah.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
You did something... There was something about the music I really liked.
Yeah, traditional passo stuff.
Traditional passo, but Tilly, again, and AJ as well.
There's some good ones, isn't there, this year?
Why she didn't get a 40 is beyond me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's pretty unanimous, isn't it, on today's chat, that we're not sure what she needs to do to get the 40.
Hashtag it. Hashtag
this is for AJ.
AJ needs 40.
But yeah, I was really concerned about Rose for a little bit when I watched the results show.
Okay.
I thought, oh, is she going to be in the dancer? Oh,
but they left her till last, didn't they?
People voted.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, they did leave her till last. But their... Samba, was it?
Yeah.
Was it Samba?
Yeah, Samba, yeah.
Was of a high standard.
Mm.
Yeah. She's always... of a high standard when you're up to perform. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
Like it was so much better than I was expecting it to be. I was expecting a drop off this week for them after the high of getting the 40 last week, get moving on to Samba, I just thought there's going to be a big drop off in level. And she really took care of a lot of technical work. I was really, really impressed.
Yeah.
Dan and Nadia, the couple's choice. Transitions. They were a bit messy.
Right.
I didn't like. So there's something about the couple's choice I can't get my head around this year.
Yeah, you're agreeing with Joe, aren't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
I liked it more when it was contemporary and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what to make of it this year. With the couple's choice.
Yeah.
I'm a bit sad they're not doing Blackpool, though.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think there'll be a surprise in store, probably. Or even if there isn't, it's such a good standard that it'll be just as good anyway.
Yeah. Stace does say to me, it's a shame that they don't get to go to Blackpool. She loved it, going to Blackpool. She was like, that's when we went to doing Blackpool with Strictly, it was like one of the best days of my life. It was amazing. She loved it so much. So it is a shame for them that they don't get to go there. Hopefully next year.
Are they doing something special on that particular week that they should have had Blackpool?
Well, we were saying that they think that Musicals Week might have been moved forward to the Blackpool Week.
I have read that.
Yeah, so we might be getting Musicals Week, and then who knows, they might be doing another sort of theme or another special thing later on. Who knows? But that's exciting if we got Musicals Week coming up already.
Yeah.
Because Musicals Week is wicked. I love Musicals Week. Like, I love seeing what everyone does. And obviously, you know, me and Joe are big into musical theatre anyway. So if more couples get to do a musical theatre themed number, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
And last one, Jack.
We have been snappier, haven't we, tonight?
We have. If we can get this done by 10, that's an hour and a half rather than 2 hours.
There we go.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hi, mate.
How are you two?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I'm tired, but it's fine. I've just done, we've done opening Adam's Family, and so for this whole week we've done tech runs and dress rehearsals and then opening night and then two shows yesterday, so I'm just absolutely shattered, but it's a day off and I'm here with you lovely people, so it's all good.
Nice to be with you too.
Changes. So sometimes I have a Sunday and a Monday off, and sometimes just the Sunday. This week I've only got today off, and we open in Cheltenham on this will go out tomorrow, I guess. But as we're recording this, it's Sunday, and I open on Monday in Cheltenham. So, yeah, it's my one day off.
I want to start off by saying that my favourite dance of the night was John Drumba.
Mm. Yeah, it was really powerful.
I think that's possibly the best male rumba since, obviously, Jay's rumba is my all-time favourite.
Mm-hmm.
But I think either John or Kelvin would be my second favourite male rumba ever.
Right, yeah. And because as well, you know, I was saying like they were really bold with it, because sometimes if I have to do a rumba, like I think music choice is key. And as much as that's a really sort of famous song, so I guess that's probably what they were thinking as well, like, I don't think I would have chosen that song for some reason, just in terms of creating narrative around it. I'm trying to think of the rumbas I did, like the ones I did with Frankie and with Kelly were both very...
I really like the one you did with Kelly.
Yeah, well, we did a very sort of compy rumba, actually, me and Kelly.
It's the Songbird.
Songbird, yeah, that's right. I was trying to
think. That was a brilliant choice.
Yeah, that type of vibe I like to choose for a rumba. But I think I wouldn't have known what to do with it so much, but Johannes obviously really did and had a real feeling for it. And yeah, he did a cracking job.
Yeah. I also want to say that
the computer's gonna die. Go on, carry on.
I was happy to see Sara back on form.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
I know it wasn't as strong as her Foxtrot and Tango, which I'm hoping she repeats at least one of those two in the final and gets 40.
In the final, you say? You haven't even in the final.
Yeah, I hope she gets to the final. Because I've noticed Aliesh has decided to kill off a lot of the harder Latins with Sara.
Right.
Cha-cha-cha, samba and rumba are out of the way.
That is very true.
Yeah, I actually liked her rumba.
I liked the rumba as well.
Yeah. It? And it's my favourite Latin dance anyway.
Oh, is it? That's interesting.
My favourite ballroom is tango.
Uh-huh. Mine's quickstep.
Yeah, but I was just thinking that Sara now has the waltz, Viennese waltz, American smooth and Argentine tango to do.
Interesting.
And I think for the waltz, Viennese waltz and American smooth, she can get 10s.
Has Sara not done a waltz yet?
No.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, just as you were getting
in the bank.
Yeah, I don't know, Kev, if you heard, but just as you were getting your charger, Jack was saying, like, Aliash has eliminated all the more difficult Latin dances, so she's left with quite a good bunch of dances.
That is interesting.
I'm wondering if they're scoped. I know you can't, like, skip two Latin dances or two ballroom dances, because you know there's two that are skipped.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only exception would have been with Alex Scott. She would have skipped two ballroom dances, but I don't think production were expecting her to get that far. So they kind of had, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I'm wondering if there's scope to maybe skip the jive and the salsa, because the salsa isn't a core Latin dance.
Yeah. Yeah, but possibly. It's always interests me when it comes down to sort of like, I wonder if some pros think in terms of strategy. I know that some pros have done in the past, because I've sort of, you know, had conversations with them and heard them talking about it, that they will think, you know, if they believe they have a chance of being in the latter stages of the competition, like being in the final or something, that some of them will think, I'm going to try and get rid of this dance and get rid of that dance and get rid of that dance earlier on, so that in the latter stages, I'm left with the ones that I believe will be better for my celeb. The work will be stronger for my celeb. I always went the other way with it. I like my strategy, if you can even call it a strategy, was to go as sort of balls to the wall and as hard as you can with as good as you can as early as possible. Because my theory was always like, I don't know that it's necessarily happening on this series, by the way, everyone's talking, but I feel like what can often happen is that people will make their minds up about a couple that they're backing. And sometimes people about halfway through the competition, they get their favorites and they get an idea of like, I would like this one to win. And therefore, like if you've like, let's say, for example, that your favorite is Reese and Nancy, just off the top of my head, and you've decided early on, I want Reese and Nancy to win. You're more likely to sort of forgive them. Like if they have an off week, you're in a zone where you're thinking, I'm really going to vote hard for them because I don't want them to go out.
Yeah, that's what I did with Sara last week, because I knew she had a lot of potential in the ballroom.
Yeah.
And I think her and Rose are the two strongest ballroom dancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was always like, I don't want to leave myself in a situation where people have already made their minds up about someone else because I haven't done, like me and my partner haven't done our best work yet. So that by the time you get to do your best work with your partner, someone's already on team someone else by then. So I was like, just do your best work and get people like excited about what you're going to do next.
It's like that with AJ, because she's got the Paso next week.
Oh, great.
And she's left with like the low impact dancers. I personally like the waltz and the rumba, but she's got those two left and the cha-cha and the salsa left towards the end of the competition. And
they're not done cha-cha yet.
Is AJ no. And I'm getting vibes of a shock elimination.
I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, like, I always go, oh, cha-cha's a horrible, dangerous one, but I haven't seen AJ do anything bad yet. I know they said, we're going to keep, this is going to be our focal point of the series, isn't it, when we talk about AJ's samba. The judges have told us all that it was some sort of terrible samba. I'd ask everyone to just have another look, because it really wasn't.
It wasn't too bad at all.
It was actually really bloody good.
In terms of why they were putting it down, and you think of the styles of dancing, I would say probably salsa's the closest to it, getting down into your knees and your hips and stuff. So maybe that's the more dangerous one rather than cha-cha.
But even so, both of them really.
Be fine. She'll be absolutely fine.
But if she ends up like, you know, latter stages and she's doing one of the, like you say, one of the lower impact dances against someone else doing a Charleston.
Yeah.
It is dangerous, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose you got to see how, like, obviously we have personal views. Like, I would prefer a rumba over a Charleston.
Right, okay.
I know that's probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
I know, you like what you like.
You've got to think that the public are more likely going to, are less likely to vote for a rumba.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Or even a waltz, they don't seem to be, a lot of people get bored of the waltz, as beautiful as some of them are.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, actually. Like, some of the waltzes are some of the most beautiful dances that you see on Strictly, but there's never the same, like, excitement around them as some of the dances. I feel like I always talk about me and Stace. Hey, why not? It's my podcast.
I could rewatch your Waltz of Stacey over and over again.
I personally think, from a technical standpoint, out of, like, Stace did some great dances and some high impact ones, but the waltz in week 8 for me was probably the best that technically that she danced in the whole series. And that was the week that that you, Joe, texted me after you'd seen it. I think you were on tour and you texted me that night after that waltz and went, oh my God, Stacey looked like a professional doing that dance. Mm. And it's one that I'll often go back and watch just for how good Stacey danced. But when people, to your point, Jack, when people look back at me and Stacey's series and go, oh, like, you know, do you remember Stace doing whatever? The waltz is not the first dance you'll think of.
I think the waltz and the Viennese waltz were the best two dances you did with Stacey. Mm. So what were you going to say before that?
No, I was just sort of agreeing with you, really. Like, you know, that there's impact dances that seem to stick with people and people remember. And waltz often isn't one of them, even though some of them are really beautiful.
Yeah, and there's only been two this series so far.
Has that? So there'll be quite a few coming up then, surely.
Who's done waltz?
Tilly and Judy.
Tilly and Judy, that's the only waltzes we've seen.
Yeah.
That's mad.
That's mental.
I didn't realise that.
Because waltz is like the first ballroom dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it is in a competition anyway, like where waltz is the first dance you do.
I think Rose and Sarah will both get 10s in the waltz.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Rose could get another 40 with the waltz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you, Jack.
Thank you both for having me.
No, thanks for coming. And right, it's the first time we've managed to be snappier. My team will be so happy. They're like, stop waffling on and making it hours and hours. So you're welcome, team. Joe, at this point, go on. Who at this point, if you had to predict, if you had to put your house on it, who's going to win and who's the three in the final?
Well, I would put Rose to win. Rose, AJ, and John. But I think Tom has a good chance.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. If I had to put my house on it, I'd say Rose will win. So Rose. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. It's more difficult now than it was a week ago. Now I'm still going to say Rose, AJ, and John, but I think Tom is playing himself into that final at the rate he's going.
Me too.
Tom is starting to take off and stake a claim.
Yeah. Oh, Vicky thinks Tom might win.
Vicky thinks Tom might win. Maybe.
And on that note, anybody? Sorry, go on, Kev.
No, go on.
Oh, I was just saying, on that note with Vicky, if anybody wants to join her Facebook group, it's very, like, all things Strictly, all day, every day. It is the Strictly Come Dance in 2021 with two little dancer emojis after it, if anybody wants to join.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, we've managed to be snappier. Thanks, everyone, for joining once again. And anyone listening, if you want to join in the fun, tell us your opinions. It's www.patreon.com/thekevinclifton show. That was right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. patreon.com/thekevinclifton show. Come and join in the Zoom every week and chat Strictly. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Pete.